Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Welcome to Point of View. Thank you so much for being with us. Goodness gracious me, there's a lot to talk about today. We are going to end it on a good note, though. As you remember, Impact is usually on a Monday, and we speak to people who you may be aware of, maybe not, but are doing amazing, amazing things in our society and just need a plug. So we're going to have one such human being today is the founder of Cool Dads Foundation, Bongani Luvalo, who is doing amazing things and has an upcoming event. And so we'll have that conversation just after 9:30. We'll be focusing on what's happening with our neighbors, Mozambique, Botswana. And, you know, I think Pumla Williams, a former government official, said the other day on X, you know, yeah, it's all interesting seeing how local media has taken all the resources, attention and everything to the US, but very little to neighboring countries. And I think it was fair criticism. I really, really think it was fair criticism, and I think we need to do better. So we're going to attempt at looking at what's happening. In fact, even if she hadn't said so, I think what's happening in Mozambique is concerning. The situation is extremely tense as we speak right now. We'll speak to a couple of people. We'll speak to an academic there, and we'll also speak to High Commissioner at the Southern Africa Human Rights Lawyers. And they are concerned. In fact, they're accusing Zimbabwe of interfering in Mozambican elections. And so we'll have that conversation with them as well. We'll speak to MMC of Public Safety in the city of Johannesburg. You may remember, or you may know, that today the Premier of Gauteng, they have what they call a turnaround plan to deal with the spaza shops and the contamination of food. We'll have a conversation with MMC Mkunitswaku, who's going to tell us exactly how they're going to change things around. I'm not sure. They are calling this a coordinated effort. I'm not sure that we are close to the bottom of what's actually happening there. But we'll talk to them, and they may come and explain themselves. We're going to start here. The Minister of Water and Sanitation gave a briefing today, and it was a full bench, really, really full bench. It was the Minister of Water and Sanitation. It was the Premier of Gauteng. It was the Mayor of Johannesburg. It was both Rand Water. It was also Joburg Water. And what's the thing? The thing here at the core of it all, I'll give you the bad news first. The bad news is that from Thursday, from 9 p.m., what we'll be seeing is some sort of a water shedding arrangement. But they'll explain to us why we got here in the first place. I'd say Johannesburg has a lot to do. Johannesburg needs to get its act together. We'll talk about other things. You know that there are other problems in the city of Johannesburg. Eskom and City Power has its own issues. We'll deal with that tomorrow. But let's start with the water and sanitation, because I think this briefing, to say the least, felt to me like a wagging of the finger. And I think Johannesburg deserves that. Let me bring in Water and Sanitation Deputy Director General Rasimati Matie, who is on the line with us this evening. Thank you very, very much, DDG, for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having us, and greetings to all the listeners.
DDG, let me just ask you, I mean, it was quite a full bench today with that briefing. The minister, the city, the premier, the mayor, the executive mayor, the water boards, the city water authorities. Essentially, this meeting, I assume, comes on the back of some quite difficult conversations that all stakeholders had to have around how usage of the city's water is happening and how we are not ourselves monitoring and managing our own water resources.
Yes, that's correct. And thanks for having us, because the minister has actually been championing this issue of water conservation and water demand management. And you will remember that last year, when the department published the no drop report, which specifically looks much on the water use efficiency, one of the highlights was that the housing in particular is actually consuming a lot of water, part of which the bulk of it is basically due to water losses. And Johannesburg, to be precise, in our findings, when we published the not drop report, which looks at the water use efficiency, was that there are non-revenue water, which constitute water that is lost, without the city collecting any revenue out of it, was basically sitting at 48%. And about 25% of that is basically physical losses like leaking pipes and the likes. Now, there were some commitments, if you remember, when we engaged previously, that the city of Joburg made some commitments that they want to deploy some of the strategies, acceleration of the operation and maintenance, ensuring that their reservoir and storage capacities are refurbished and upgraded, and also ensure that they accelerate pipe replacement in much of their infrastructure. Now, there's been very little progress of that. So the minister yesterday called up a meeting in the morning, calling the key stakeholders, as you've mentioned in your opening remarks, to review the progress, because the past few weeks, we've had issues, especially with this heat wave, that most of the water gets lost. People use a lot of water, but at the same time, the bulk of it gets lost through the infrastructure. So the minister has been raising this concern that some of these challenges is because municipalities, and in this case, of Joburg, has actually had very little investment in accelerating operation and maintenance, issues of billing, dealing with illegal connections and the likes. So we had to meet yesterday and today just to brief the communities and the residents of the city to say this is what we've agreed upon, and this is basically some of the commitment that the city has made, and also to register some of the progress that the city has made after our last meeting. But the problem still continues for me.
You know, we were often told that even as political principles change chairs, essentially the administration remains. Did anybody give an explanation to why there was no progress, even after having made commitments to all the relevant stakeholders, like the national government and provincial government, that there was going to be an improvement?
You know, your statement is precisely correct. The administration remains, but if you look at how the Water Service Authority of local government is basically constituted, the passing of budget remains much with the council. Now, when the council can't sit, they can't vote on some of the budget, even though the administrative will sit with plans that needs to be implemented, but you still need the council to pass the budget. And I think the leadership in the city has been passing hands. It has been unstable, and that had an effect on that. So those are some of the issues that were actually raised up. But we must appreciate the fact that at least the mayor is not actually passing the blame. He's taking the ownership and the responsibility, and he has started to engage even with Johannesburg Water, which is the entity. They've raised concern in terms of how much they need to be invested in the next couple of years. And we see that support being practical, because the first form of accountability to take responsibility of what council needs to do. So that has actually been one of the positives that were basically registered in yesterday and today's meeting.
Mm. You know, the issue of investment is interesting, because there has to be a conversation around the ring fencing of water, revenue meant for water services, which we know, not just Johannesburg. Many other municipalities have that problem where, yes, ratepayers pay for the water, and the water then plugs other holes. You know, what's their plan with that? Are we going to have, and I know the minister spoke about a committee that is going to be monitoring some of the agreements that have been agreed to, and things that everybody has committed to. But is that going to be one of the things that it's going to get some scrutiny?
Precisely so. We must maybe inform the listeners, Pamela, that one of the issues or strategies that have actually been taken up by government is what is being led by National Treasury together with the city of Joburg. So what they've done is to develop the turnaround strategy. Now, the turnaround strategy seeks much of the bulk of ensuring that the city turn around its plans, accelerate much of its plans, deals with some of these bottlenecks, and use the USDG, the Urban Infrastructure Grant, which the city receives, so that a bigger portion of it must go to water infrastructure. Now, that turnaround strategy has been developed. The council passed it, and there are commitments to accelerate that, and part of which is for us as the department to support the city, and also to ring fence some of the money that gets collected through tariffs. And you are right, Normally, municipalities cross-subsidize the revenue collected through water to other activities like roads and building and the likes. But then the commitment and the advice we're giving the city is that with the amount that gets collected for water, a portion of it needs to be reinvested back into the water infrastructure to deal with the issue of operation and maintenance, to deal with the issue of pipe replacement and infrastructure upgrade. These are some of the commitments that the city has made, and they've actually put up some plans. But maybe one positive thing to share, Pamela, is one of the issues the city raised is that they've actually done the entire condition assessment of the infrastructure for years at the city, mm-hmm. but which has actually been lacking was the funds mm-hmm. or the budget to implement some of these strategies.
Mm. I mean, if the budget is an issue, you know, one would then also imagine that we would find ways that are going to be more effective. So is the conversation around insourcing some of these services being had? Because we know that, you know, subcontractors, you know, these are independent people. And every single time you make a call, they come out. And we've heard all kinds of allegations around how subcontractors themselves sabotage the infrastructure. Is there a conversation to be had around who gets to fix these leaking pipes and so on, and whether we can do it in a way that's more, you know, cost effective?
Yes, one of the strategies or the commitment the city has made, and I think it's worth mentioning, is that they have committed to increase the capacity of their maintenance teams. So they used to have teams on standby during the week, but there were a few teams in apart, but they've committed to increase the number of teams across the seven regions, which will attend to leaks during the night. And over and above that, over the weekend, they are also committing to increase the number of teams which will be working during the weekend. They also committed to be rolling out the fleet. You would have heard in the past that the city had an issue with the fleet or the trucks which the maintenance teams are using to go and operate or repair some of the leaks. They are saying they are sitting at 70% to roll out some of these fleet across some of the regions. They mentioned the central region, Soweto, as well as the central region. Now, these are some of the strategies they are putting in place, as well as them taking the ownership of doing the leak detections. You know, there are leaks in these pipelines that sometimes take time to be identified. They also implementing what we call the pressure management, so that at night when people are using water, this pressure, smart control valves, they reduce the flow of water so that we don't feed the leaks when people are not using water, as well as throttling some of the reservoirs outlets so that when people are not using water at night between 9 and 4 a.m., they reduce the flow into the system. These are the plans that are put together, and the city has committed that the ones are going to champion this. Yes, Pamela, they did speak about utilizing some of the contractors, which they are saying they are busy with the procurement to employ those, but the bulk of the work they committed that they will be able to do it as the city.
The elephant in the room always with Johannesburg in particular is that they always seems to be, and if you've been covering this for a long time, there always seems to be tensions between Rand Water and the Rand Water and the city of Johannesburg's water provider. People blaming each other around who should be fixing what leak and who should be looking after what infrastructure. Your sense of your conversation as stakeholders.
Yeah, I think there's a perception that there's actually squabbles and fights. But I think during the heat wave and when there are pressures, normally blames get pushed everywhere and about. Mm. But we can confirm that there are no squabbles between Rand Water and City of Joburg. In essence, the Rand Water is actually supplying City of Joburg with more water. And to be precise, out of the 77% which Rand Water supplies, the three metros, Ekurhuleni, City of Tshwane, and Joburg, Joburg takes about 36% of that water. So about half of the water that Rand Water pushes to the three metros, City of Joburg takes more. And they actually take far more than the limit they require. So that can be actually substituted to the fact that the two have got squabbles. And yes, in the past, when the city had issues specifically with their storage capacities, issues of power failures and the recovery of the systems, the residents were unhappy, and also the political leadership then could not take that level of ownership and accountability that even us as the city, we do have the role to play. But we can assure the residents that there are no squabbles. These people talk to each other, we're in the same platform. And by the way, the city even confirmed that they don't owe Randwater in terms of their debt. So the two entities are actually in good spirit.
The billing issue is one such issue that I think residents are quite upset about, because yes, while everybody wants to be part of the solution, there needs to be a resolution on how people are billed, and it really is taking a long time. What's going to be the plan going forward?
One issue that is crucial, which came up, is the incorrect billing. Mm-hmm. Because residents are saying, I mean, if you are a resident permanent, you wouldn't want to pay if you are not billed correctly. Mm-hmm. Now, the city and the commitment is that they will accelerate and ensure that correcting wrong billings is done timely. And also they are urging the resident that much as you will have a wrong bill, that does not take away the right for you to pay a particular portion to the bill while you are busy inquiring for the bill to be corrected. Mm-hmm. And those errors are basically being corrected, constant meter reading to run away from working on estimates for the consumer. And I think in some areas, Pamela did indicate put in some of the prepaid meters. Mm-hmm. But the challenge, you know, people do bypass those prepaid meters and they end up doing illegal connections. But the cry that we're making out there is for people to still use water sparingly and to adhere to some of these bylaws and report leaks and take accountability of their water bill.
So the minister obviously today mentioned the monitoring platform that has been put together. Have there been targets that we can all trace? I know she says that we will be able ourselves to assess the progress, but are there targets that are in place?
Yes, so there is a platform for water secure housing, which the department, together with businesses and ring fence around the support from the World Bank, using the experts, as you may know, who have actually been involved in abating Day Zero in Cape Town, as well as the drought issues in Nelson Mandela Bay. So these are some of the expert data we have put together, and business to monitor the progress, part of which is to do awareness campaigns so that businesses get involved in helping us send the message and curbing the water losses. So we have developed a dashboard as a department, so you should be able to trace how a city of Joburg is doing in terms of the water losses, and also how they're communicating with the stakeholders, and also how the consumption is reducing and leaks being reported. So that platform offers a space for the resident to gain access to such, and then we keep monitoring the progress and also communicating with the residents through the platform.
Yes, but, you know, do we have set targets to say we want to be here by such time?
Yes, as you know, the department does review the no drop reports, which mm-hmm. I said initially deals much with the water use efficiency. Mm-hmm. So the city set target to say, fine, because we're not revenue water when we publish our no drop report, mm-hmm. we're sitting at 48%. Mm-hmm. By the time we do the next review, it needs to have actually been reduced by at least 5 to 10% of that, at least go towards the world average. So those commitments are there, and as they reduce some of the leaks, we are able to measure how much water we are saving in the system, and also how does that translate to reduction in water losses. So those targets are set up, and they have to be monitored at least on a quarterly basis, and by the end of the year, we should be able to see if there's basically a progress. But we are quite happy with some of the plans that the city is putting together.
All right. Water and Sanitation, DDG Rusimati Matia, thank you very much for giving us an update on that briefing that they gave earlier on today. I think it's comprehensive. If we will be able to get some sort of a sense every quarter, whether there is movement, whether there's progress, I think we can work with that. There will be a platform where you and I, residents, businesses, everybody can trace whether there is movement or not.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.